How about a round of applause for all the ladies of Bridge City Church and everything they do week in and week out to make Bridge City Church the place that it is. Come on, you can get louder than that. A round of applause for all the ladies of Bridge City Church. Thank you for everything that each and every one of you do. And if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Nick Stepanovic. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And happy Mother's Day. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name. I say it every week. This side of heaven, this is the best place to be. The blessed place. This is the blessed place to be, this side of heaven. I'm honored to be here with you all. And Mother's Day is an interesting day because it's the day that the world tells us that we have to celebrate moms and ladies, but I believe that it's a day that we should say, hey, listen, we should celebrate ladies every single day. We should celebrate the ladies around us every single day because they are amazing, not only because of what they do, but because of who they are and the things that they show us. And during worship, the song that we sang, I will tell these stories to our kids, to my kids, of how great our God is. I was just looking around the room during worship, and every single lady, young and old, mom, spiritual mom, desiring to be a mom, never been a mom, and I was looking around at just the encouragement and the faith that flows out of every single lady in this room. You know, I look over at Megan and Ashlyn, and they're not moms, and they're not going to be for a very long time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yep. Megan's brother said, amen, preach that, yep. And the faith and the joy that exudes out of them as young ladies is awe-inspiring. The way that they encourage the children of this church already. My son probably FaceTimes Megan 3 or 4 times a week. And she answers with joy. She's already a spiritual mom to him, and he's 5. Talk about encouragement and joy. That's what ladies exude to those around them. And I know that Mother's Day can bring up so many emotions and so many different feelings for so many different people. I'm one of them as a son. So I get it. It can bring up so many different feelings. I want to be a mom. I'm desiring to be a mom. I've never been. I get it. But one of the things that we want as Bridge City Church is to know that no matter what, Mother's Day should be a day that brings up the word honor for all of us. Why honor? And this verse isn't going to pop up on the screen, but Romans 13:7 says, pay to all what is owed to them. And at the end it says, honor to whom honor is owed. The ladies in our lives are owed honor. Now in the middle, it says taxes are owed, revenue to those who is owed, respect to whom is owed. Now, I believe moms are owed taxes too. They should get their mom tax. They should. Whatever you have should be given to them. I was at a wedding last night, and it's tradition at the end of the bridal dance, the money dance, the dollar dance, whatever you say, the mother of the bride goes last. And the mother of the bride was very, very adamant. She's like, I'm not putting any money in that cowboy hat. And I said, and you shouldn't. Take some out. She said, I might. It's a mom tax. And I said, you have no idea what I'm preaching on tomorrow, but that fits great. Deuteronomy 5:16. reads, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor, to fix the value, the price. Listen, no matter where you are in your life, as a son or a daughter or as a mother or as a want-to-be mother or as a spiritual mother, honor is due. We can honor those around us, and we should. No matter how your relationship is with your mother or was with your mother, or how you're feeling today, our assignment today is to honor those around us and to let them know. Because you don't know how many days you have left to be able to show the honor to those people. I think about one of my spiritual mothers, Sally Powden. She is not here today. She's with Jesus. She's celebrating with Jesus today. But I know for all the Mother's Days that I got to spend with her, I honored her. For every Sunday that she sat in that third row, I made sure to let her know. I got down on my knee, or I sat down next to her, or I made sure to block for her as she was wheeled out of here, or she had a walker or a cane sometimes. Honor was showed. Now that word honor literally means a giving a weight. It's like a scale. We need to make sure that we're weighing the options. Are we honoring enough? It's like the weight of gold. Every time we put a little bit of honor on the scale. So I want you to think about, when's the last time you honored the people in your life? The mother in your life, the biological one, the spiritual mother. Do you even have a spiritual mother? Maybe you need one. We'll get you one. We have a great foster care system here at Bridge City Church. We really do. It's really fun. We put your picture up on a fridge and then, you know, for pennies a day. It's great. But when's the last time you honored that family friend that really encouraged you as a young child, or that person that took you under their wing? When's the last time you sent an encouraging note to that person that encouraged you as a young woman or a young man? Every single Mother's Day and or Father's Day, I'm sure to send out notes to people that have held that position in my life. Honoring mothers is important not only to you as a son or daughter, but it's important to God. Now, let's go to the flip side. There's people in our lives that are hard to honor. There's people that are in our lives that we feel aren't deserving of honor. Are all parents deserving of honor? To us? No. But are all parents deserving of honor to God? Yes. So it begs us the question, how do we honor those that have been cruel or cotton-headed ninny muggins? Somebody in the back row just went. It might have been the first time that young man ever did that in church, and I wish I had a video of it. It was great. Just quote Elf, and it happens. pulls the best out of some people. But we still have to do it. Let me switch that. We get to. How do we do it? Even if you can't or you don't have that relationship with that person anymore, you can still do it in your heart and your mind. Because it's freeing for you. You're not carrying the weight. Write a letter. Type a note. Type the one you want to send. Type the one you know you should send. And then type the one you're going to. A lot of you have been to Victory and Freedom before. You write a letter to your parents. You never send it most times. Sometimes you do. Going through a pre-marriage counseling with a young couple. They're getting married this weekend. They're sitting in the front row. They're soon to be Mr. and Mrs. Van Horn. They're writing letters to their parents, thanking them for preparing them, to getting them to the point before they stand before God. They're going to give their letters, their parents' letters. They're also going to write letters they might not. But they're going to be fully honoring. Pray for those that might not deserve honor. Every single day. God wants us to live a life that is full of honor. Obviously, we honor God first, and we honor those that God created, everyone. There's a principle at work here to encourage. At Bridge City Church, it's always been a culture of honor. We honor those around us. We honor women, we honor men, and we honor the gift that God's children are. And we want that to be an example. So what's your Mother's Day assignment? Write the letter. Write the letter. I know I said type, but there's something powerful about putting pen to paper. All you lefties out there, find a good pen that doesn't smear. I'm a lefty. I'm a lefty. All the lefties, raise your left hand. Keep it up. I want to see all the special people. Take a picture of all of us. We're all really, really, look at us. Benedetti. I knew I loved you. You're all really, some of you put your hands down because lefties can't keep their hands up for a long time. It's hard for you. Write the letter. Expressing the gratitude and thanks for your mom, for the role that she played in your life. Or have an eye-to-eye moment with her and express your thanks and gratitude. If your mom is passed away, or maybe you don't know, it's not somebody that you can really have that respectful conversation with. Write the letter. Get it out. This will be in a moment that will be encouraging for them, and it will be encouraging for you. Because no matter what, moms have influence. They influence us in the best ways, and they can influence us in bad ways. They set the environment. And I think about every single lady in the room. You all are such environment setters. And the joy that each and every one of you bring to Bridge City Church. I think of Dawn Kemper. Week in and week out, she is here during the week preparing for you all. I think of Kim Broom and the tireless effort she puts forth for Bridge City students, or kids, I'm sorry. The tireless effort she puts forth in cleaning this building with her family. I think of Phyllis Paladin. She's not here right now. She's caring for her husband, who's doing great. He's recovering. We're praying for him. But the way that she has spiritually cared for this church for years and years and years and years. I can go through every ministry she's been a part of. I think of Donna Colella, who's never had children of her own, but has had influence in every child's life that's been a part of Word and Worship Church and now Bridge City Church. I can keep going. I started with the youngest, then went to the oldest, and then went in between. But moms have influence. What makes a great mom? What makes a great mom? You can think about it. But I'm just going to list a few. Moms are a great example of integrity. An unbelievable example of integrity. I think of Rachel, my own wife. She is unwavering. Moms just do the right things. And they let you know about it. And as guys, sometimes it irks us that they're right. What made the ladies in our lives great? When we look back and when I look around this room at so many of the ladies, from the youngest to the oldest, is the love for Jesus, the ladies in this room. I think of Gina. She moved here from Boston. She didn't like it here at first because we liked Starbucks and not Dunkin'. She thought we were weird. But the love for Jesus that has exuded out of her over the years. None of you even knew she was from Boston now. Because she's a Pittsburgher now. Because Jesus has transformed her. Actually, she's a McKeesporter now. She's from the port. Born and raised. But it's the love of Jesus that transformed her. It's not the blue and red of the port. It's the love of Jesus. It's the personality. It's the quick smiles that moms are able to give you. It's the great influence that moms have. That ladies have. It's how ladies exude what it looks like to be submitted to God. What makes a great mom is the example of godliness. What Christian behavior looks like. Ladies' commitment to Jesus. But if you're a mom, a desiring mom, a spiritual mother, we can all be influencers. How do we do that? How do we all influence those all around us? Number one, we show unconditional love. We can all have influence to those around us. Every single woman, young or old, if you're a mom, if you want to be a mom, if you're never going to be a mom, it doesn't matter. We can all have great influence by showing unconditional love. by being that person that speaks unconditional truth, no matter what. And by number three, accepting the unstoppable transitions of life. Things change no matter what. There's a song at a wedding I was at last night, and I'm not a country music fan. I love all music, but I've never purchased a country music album, like even as a kid. It's not something I've done. And this was the most country music I've ever been to. As a matter of fact, I couldn't wait to play a song that had bass in it. I'm from McKeesport, it's just who I am, it's in me, okay? And thank God Kevin was with me and he told me who Merle Haggard was, and I needed some help with some things. And but there's a song by Trace Adkins, and I've always loved this song because I love all music. Music's music. If it speaks to you, it speaks to you, and it's called You're Gonna Miss This. And it just puts life into perspective. You're going to miss this. You're going to want this back. And this song always plays in my head. I'd sing it right now, but you wouldn't love the song anymore. But I play this song in my head every time Lennon does something I don't like. Or every time he's frustrating me. And I tried to get Rachel to play the same song in her head, but she really doesn't like country. But I told Rachel another perspective. I said, hey, every time Lennon's doing something, I want you to imagine that you're 80 years old and you just discovered time travel, a time machine, and you only got to use it once and you got to come back to this moment. She's like, oh. And she looks at me all the time. She says, I'm 80 right now, and I just used my time machine. But the unstoppable transitions. We're all going to get older. And ladies, there's so many people around you that have went through the process of becoming. Spiritual moms and spiritual grandmothers and spiritual great-grandmothers to so many with such beautiful grace. I think of Janet Fulmer in the back. The lives that she's affected. Unbelievable. It's not unbelievable, it's God. You can believe it. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It always is hopeful and endures through every circumstance. You know, I know people read this at weddings a lot. You know, Paul wasn't writing this so that pastors had something to read at weddings. He was writing this for the church of Corinth to know how they should treat others and each other. It should be the mom verses, because this is really, you know, how moms are. I know it's who God is, but it's really how moms are. Moms are the most patient people in the world. Ladies are the most patient people in the world. And they really do let you know when they're right and when they're winning. They do. But they never give up. They never give up on you. They really don't. No matter how many times you messed up or whether they have run away or they messed up, that love that a mother has in their heart, it's never left. They're always faithful. They're always hopeful through every circumstance. Great women are patient and kind. They're not proud. They don't demand their own way. They're not irritable all the time. I had to throw that one in there. That was me. I take that one back. Sometimes. Ever. They're never. Never. I just had to wake you guys up. I had to wake you. Keeps no record of wrong. They don't write it down. They don't rejoice in wrongdoing. They're always hopeful and they never give up. That's unconditional love. That's the definition of a mom. Build an amazing environment. Building a home takes effort. And it's tireless. It's an investment. To have great influence means to be someone that speaks and lives unconditional love. Proverbs 3:3-4. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good reputation in the sight of God and man. Speak the unconditional truth. Don't just let it be something that just your actions show, but speak it all the time. Let your lifestyle be an example. To have great influence, we spoke about the last one, to accept the unstoppable transitions. Luke 8:19-21. Then Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him. But they couldn't get to him because of the crowd. Someone told Jesus, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, and they want to see you." Jesus replied, "My mother and my brothers are all those who hear God's word and obey it." The wise mother realizes that relationships change. Things change. Great moms accept the unstoppable transitions of relationships, of life. If you're to have great influence upon a young Christian or someone in the neighborhood or someone in your life, you need to expect that the relationship at times will have a transition that it goes through. If you're having great influence in somebody's life, they're obviously going to be someone that grows and matures and grows up and gets older. You know, I look in the second row at the Johnson family. If Ken never grew up, never grew into the man that he is, we'd have a problem. He grew up, he matured. He's about to be a father. There's transitions. It's not just your baby boy anymore. Relationships change. And these transitions of life reveal health of relationships. And we get to enjoy the joys of every single step. A mother is not a person to lean on, but a person to make leaning unnecessary. It's a hard quote, but it's a powerful one. Moms are always there. But they're not meant to be a crutch. They're meant to be a launching point. A mother is not a person to lean on, but a person to make leaning unnecessary. Because they push you. They encourage you. They equip you. They empower you. And I know what a lot of us may be thinking, my mom didn't do that. We have a great spiritual mother foster program here. Take your picture downstairs at the picture wall. And we'll put it on the fridge. And then they can get your picture for pennies a day. Support you. We can all be influencers. We can all live a life of honor. And I know what you may be thinking right now. As a mom, as a desiring to be a mom, as a mom who your kids are grown and they're out of the house, or you haven't talked to them in a while, or your relationship may not be great, or your relationship with your mom may be great. It's not how you started. It's all about the finish. It's all about the finish. I'm not a runner. I'm not. You know, I used to kid that I can't believe I married into a family that runs marathons. I used to get frustrated. There was a point that I might have to run a 5K or 10K on Thanksgiving or a holiday, something like that, you know, that I married into a family that does that type of stuff. That's how I started. And now that's how I'm going to finish, because I'm excited for that day. Because I'm going to run one. By July, I'm going to cycle 100 miles. I'm doing it. I'm trying to figure out how, because it's only 73.6 miles from Ohio to Pittsburgh. And then back to McKeesport, it's only 17 miles. So, Jim, you got to plan it. And I'm not going to bike around McKeesport for the remaining miles, because that'll be boring. We're going to do 100 by the middle of July. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. So I don't know where you're at with your relationship with your mom. I don't know where you're at as a mom. But we've talked about that. You can show unconditional love. You can speak unconditional truth. You can accept the unstoppable transitions. I don't want to talk about that anymore. I want to talk about your relationship with your father. Because that's the foundation. That's where it all starts. If your relationship with your dad isn't right, we can't talk about the rest. If your relationship with Jesus isn't in order, your relationship with everybody else is going to be off kilter. It's not going to be centered. If your relationship with Him isn't right, your relationship with others isn't going to be. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You know, I just had a conversation with my mother-in-law. And she was telling me all this stuff. I'll say mumbo jumbo. She has a stress fracture in her knee. She's a marathon runner, and she will run marathons again. She's a couple weeks into this deal. She's not patient. She's everything but patient. And she was telling me all this stuff, and she ended every sentence with a but. She was telling me that she was doing good with walking with her crutches, but she was keeping weight off of her foot, but I said, Deb, you can't end sentences with a but. And she's like, but. I said, well, let me talk in terms that you can understand. I said, you love the Bible, right? She said, you know that I do. I said, I know that you do, because every time I come to your house, your Bible's open, your highlighter's on it, your phone's next to it, because you were reading it. I said, what does God usually do in his word? She said, what do you mean? I said, he usually tells you the bad stuff, and then he puts a but after it. So why does he do that? She said, because then he tells you something different. I said, yeah. So Romans 6:23 is, church. The but changes everything. We were separate from God, but we don't have to be. If your relationship with him isn't right, change it. If you're separated from him, change it. But, no, change it. If you don't have a day, if you don't have a time, if you don't have a moment, if you don't know that you know that you know that you're going to spend eternity with him in heaven, change it. But, I know. Change it. I've been coming to church for years, but, no. Change it. If you've never had a moment where somebody has walked through the gospel with you and prayed with you and handed you a Bible of your very own, take that moment. Seize the opportunity before you. Now's your time. But I'm fearful. That's what the enemy wants you to be, because there's freedom on the other side of that fear. But I don't know what people are going to think of me. They're going to celebrate with you with great joy. And the heavens are going to rejoice. That's what people are going to think. But I'm afraid. But God. So if you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for you, I want today to be your day. Mother's Day, 2023. So if I was just speaking to you for the last 6 minutes, I want you to do something really simple and just slip your hand up to heaven and say, Pastor, that's me. You were talking to me. Anyone at all today? Amen. Amen. Anyone at all? Anyone else? Anyone else today? The heavens are rejoicing. Your brothers and sisters are rejoicing. Anyone else? Listen, if you were fearful to raise your hand, I understand. I get it. I'm with you. I was there. There's a card on your seat. There's a card on your seat with the pen that's next to you. It says, check the box. I want to make Jesus Christ the forgiver of my past. You could turn it in at the connection point, and there are people there that will pray with you. They want to meet you and pray with you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for every single lady here today. I thank you for who they are. I thank you that they have influence within your kingdom. God, I thank you for the unconditional love they show. God, I thank you for the unconditional truth they speak. And God, I thank you for every single transition of life and the grace and mercy they walk through those transitions with. God, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' glorious name, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Ladies, every single lady over the age of 18 and up, we have a special gift for you as you leave today. These flowers aren't for me, but there's flowers and another special gift for you as you leave today. We thank you. We appreciate you. We love you all. Kevin's going to wrap us up. Good. You can clap for Kevin as he's up here.